he is, that Jesus is. In times of disappointment, you need to know that he is. We need to focus on the one who is. I've been talking to you about he is the soon returning king. He is working. Last Sunday night, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I want to do next Sunday night or two Sunday nights from now, if it's my time to preach two Sunday nights from now, on he is the Savior. And I want to talk to you about all the aspects of him being Savior. Tonight, I want to talk to you about he is our provider, and I'm going to be focusing on Jehovah Jireh, our provider. In an economy in shambles, in a time of layoffs, and in a time of cutbacks, in a time of bailouts, we need to know now more than ever that he is. Say that with me. He is. Would you stand with me tonight, and let's go to Colossians chapter 1, and also Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 through 14. Colossians chapter 1 and Genesis 22, 11 through 14. Can I get a witness out there? Amen. People said, what about Trump? And, you know, he owns casinos and he says unkind things sometimes. And I certainly don't approve of casinos. And I certainly don't, would love to mention to him to not say those things. But I'll tell you this, sometimes you've got to choose what's lesser and what's worse. Are we going to have bad tweets where he just talks to, kind of tells people like it is, or are we going to have an executive order on the first day of the Biden presidency that allows taxpayer-funded abortion? Come on now, which is worse? All right, we've got to be discerning in this time. Well, you've got people say, well, the Trump don't want the immigrants to come in, and it puts those immigrant children in cages. Can I tell you, those cages were built by President Barack Hussein Obama and Joe Biden as his vice president. You've got to quit, like he said, drinking the Kool-Aid. We need preachers. We need. It's not about Republicans. It's not even about Donald Trump. It is about righteousness and what is going to. And people say it doesn't matter who's in politics. It does matter. If you don't think it doesn't matter, move to Afghanistan. And I know God is still working in Afghanistan, but that's a trickle. That government has clogged the engine of the gospel, and millions as a result have dropped into hell. It is vitally important that we fight and stand for our freedoms, and our freedom to preach the unadulterated word of God, because they're going to shut us down if we preach against gay marriage and transgender. God made a man, and he made a woman a woman. And I'm telling you, I could be deplatformed. My credit card company might not let me be a customer. We are headed for persecution, and even so-called evangelicals that voted the other way, you're to be blamed for some of this, because your vote tilted a lot of those states. And I know this is not popular, and I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but we need to get out of fake news and we need to get into good news. Amen. That he is. Can I get a witness here tonight? Colossians chapter 1. When all of this stuff was happening on January the 6th, when President Trump was giving his speech and making a stand saying, look, there are things wrong with this election. How is it that in the middle of the night, votes were changed, counties were held, and states that went completely for Trump, and counties that were completely, all of a sudden, unexplainably flipped, and now we're the conspiracy theorists, and Trump making that speech, and some people that got radical and stormed the Congress. We're not for storming Congress. We're not for violence. We're not for breaking windows and breaking down Nancy Pelosi's door. That's not us. That's not President Trump. But yet, they're going to use that to blame it on us and on President Trump. But listen, when all of this is happening, we need to focus on two things, two words. He is. Can you say that with me tonight? He is. And on that day, I was listening as I was painting to the Bible, and I came across Colossians 1:17. Read it out loud with me. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And when those two words, he is, came across my ears, I said, that's what I want to preach, because we don't need to be discouraged. We can be encouraged. Our God reigns, and he's got a plan, and we can give him praise. Amen. Now go to Genesis chapter 22, and he is our provider. And we're looking in Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 through 14. All righty. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. Somebody say, here am I. And verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing thou hast not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Somebody needs to look. And behold, I like when I hear the word behold, I think of Mike Mills preaching that last year. Behold, amen. Look here, amen. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Thank you, Father, that he is, that Jesus is. Anoint your servant to preach. Thank you for the spirit of revival, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody, Jesus is. All throughout the Word of God, God has revealed himself and his character through different names. And I'd like for Sister Darnell to put up those names. You see, we have one name, or our three names, our first name, middle name, and our surname. And but God reveals himself in different names. Jehovah, the self-existent one. Or Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner. Jehovah Roy, the Lord, my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is where? He is here. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And also Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. And in our text tonight is where we get the name Jehovah Jireh. It is taken from the story of Abraham, who was called by God to offer his only son, Isaac. And you remember the story, how that God called Isaac and Sarah to leave their homeland and go to a place they've never been. They were told by prophetic word that their descendants would outnumber the sands of the sea. That's a lot of descendants. That they would outnumber even the stars of the sky. That from their descendants would come kings and priests and nations of people. God told Abraham and Sarah this exciting prophetic word, but a problem happened. They could not have a child. No child. Year after year, these promises were from God, but they had to have at least one child to get the rest of the children. And finally, after years of trusting and years of sometimes doubting and taking things into their own hands, finally God gives them that son, and they call his name Isaac. That name Isaac means laughter. Somebody say amen. Oh, when I think of the word Isaac and I think of the word laughter, I'll tell you, we need to laugh. Amen. And when it seems like the devil's having the upper hand, it seems like the promises aren't going to be fulfilled, we need to laugh. Sarah laughed. She laughed in doubt, but God help us to laugh in faith. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm going to praise him for my joy, my Isaac. My promises are coming to pass because he is. Somebody needs to laugh out loud. L-O-L. And let's praise God that he's going to heal. He's going to deliver. He's going to see us through. Well, somebody give him praise here tonight. Amen. And so, after about 20 years, when Isaac was a fully grown man at this point, God taps Abraham on the shoulder and says, go and offer your son as a sacrifice to me. And you can imagine what must have been going through Abraham's mind. Offer up my son. Kill my son. The son that you gave me. But please understand that in that day and time, human sacrifice was quite prevalent in the world. And it was not so much a far-fetched idea as it is to us today. We were raised in the last 50 to 100 years, but many cultures, even to this day, and not as many, but thank the Lord, but many, many cultures had human sacrifice. So it wasn't much of a far-fetched idea, but at the same time, I'm sure it struck Abraham with pain. But yet, Paul tells us in Romans that even though God told him to offer his son, God tells us in Romans, or Paul tells us, that Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead immediately. So Abraham's trial was not as severe as we might think today, but it was a great trial of his faith. So Abraham lays his son on the altar, and he prepares the sacrifice, and he sharpens the blade. And you know that great painting back in the Middle Ages where that knife is drawn. And so Abraham is about to do it and go through it. And in Abraham's heart, he's already done it. But God says, Abraham, don't do it. I don't want you to sacrifice your son. Abraham, you keep your son. I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you my son on the cross of Calvary, and he will take the sacrifice and the penalty of sin. What an exchange. My life, his life for mine. And what in every other culture that had human sacrifice, where people were actually sacrificed to deities, they got a message. There's a God over there in Israel where you don't have to offer your sons. He's going to offer his son. He's going to have a substitute. We ought to praise him that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I said, he is our provider. Can you say amen tonight? Oh, he looked, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. Oh, I like these little leaves here. He looked at and saw a ram caught in the thicket. And when there's Isaac, and there's Isaac bound, and there's the knife, but there's a ram. Oh, glory to God, there's a ram. He looked over there, and he said, I've discovered that God's name is this, Jehovah Jireh. That ram caught in the thicket was his provision so that he don't have to kill his son. I want you to know, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the provider. When I needed him the most, he provided. When I thought all was lost, he provided. When I thought I'd have to slay my son, he provided. And I don't know, no matter what you're facing, no matter what your needs, no matter how dark and bleak it looks, he is still Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Can you say amen? It's not job Jireh. It's not bank Jireh. It's not economy Jireh. It's not stimulus check Jireh. It's not Joe Biden Jireh. It is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. Amen. Well, I got to work, and can't be at church. It's not job Jireh, praise God. Be at church, if at all possible. I know sometimes we can't be at church due to work, but we must realize that he is our provider. Amen. A couple of boys were spending the night at their grandmother's house. Their ages were 4 and 6. And when grandma got ready to put them to bed, she said, be sure to say your prayers. And as she left, the boys knelt down, and one of them started praying to the top of his lungs. God, I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new PlayStation. I pray for a new DVD. And his brother looked at him and said, what are you doing? You are screaming. God is not deaf. But the other brother said, I know God's not deaf, but Grandma is. Aren't you glad that God is not deaf? Give him a hand of praise here tonight. He's going to meet every need. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just want to stroll through the scriptures here. He provided for Adam and Eve. This is T.L. Bird's Bible here. I feel super anointed tonight. Amen. I'm unboxing all my books, and my other Bible was too, that I preached from was too cumbersome to get. So I had a stack of Bible. I said, I'll get Brother Bird's Bible. Praise God. But I'll tell you, he provided for Adam and Eve. You know, they did the worst of the world. The greatest sinners was Adam and Eve. Well, what about Jeffrey Dahmer? What about Adolf Hitler? What about Adam and Eve were the greatest sinners that walked face of the earth? Well, they didn't do terrible genocide and they didn't do all that. But let me tell you something. To have walked with the God of the universe and turn around and sin, that is the greater sin, my friend. And from that sin, you got all the other sins. And now I'll tell you, they were naked and they were in big trouble. They had sinned. And they knew they were wrong. They hid from the presence of the Lord. But I love that phrase where it says, Adam, where are you? Let me tell you something. God won't lost. Adam was lost. And the Bible says that they were naked and they were ashamed. And God, the Bible says, you miss it if you read too fast. He provided them skins to cover them. And there's a lot of preaching right there. You know, we need to be properly clothed. And, you know, when God covered them, there was what he was saying was, we don't need to walk around. I know there's nudist colonies say we need to be like Adam. And no, we don't. They were clothed with innocence and they were clothed with the glory of God. It wasn't nudity like we know today. But understand that they were in a mess. They had a need. And God provided skins of clothing for them. And please understand that they were skins, which means something had to die. An animal had to give up their fur or their skin. Just like today, we wear clothes that are made from animals. And the point I'm trying to tell you is when they were naked and had nothing, God stepped in and provided salvation and provided a promise and provided clothing. And you need to understand he will meet your need according to his riches in glory. Amen. The children of Israel, he provided for them. Think about the fact that they were millions of them and they didn't have running water like we have. But did they? They went to a rock. Have you ever found water? I've seen water out of the ground. I've seen water out of a faucet. But I've never seen water out of a rock. Have you? Oh, my friend, that was a rock. And Moses spoke to the rock. He struck the rock the first time. He was supposed to speak to it the second time. But oh, my friend, out of the rock came a gushing torrent of water. That tells me that in hard places, you can still have living, refreshing water in the hardest of places. Oh, God provided water. He provided manna from the sky. He provided a cloud by day and a fire by night. He provided for the children of Israel. He is Jehovah Jireh. I mean, he provided for them. And I mean, their shoes did not wax old and they, none of them were feeble and weak. He carried them on eagle's wings and he brought them to the safe new land of Jordan. They doubted and they sinned, and because of their sins, 99.8 of them died. But God kept his word to their children and brought them in. He provided the promised land and he provided for Gideon. How many of you remember Gideon? Gideon had how many? 300. How many was he going against, Bible scholars? How much? How many was he going against? All right. Who says 30? Amen. All right, Pastor, you're closer to it. Amen. The point is, with 300, and you got more than 300, you're already in a bad fix. Can I get an amen? If you got 300 and going against 3,000, that's not good. If you got 300 and you're going against 30,000, that's really not good. But did the Lord provide? He provided for Gideon the sword of the Lord. He told his little 300 folks, he said, listen, you go, and what you do is you speak something. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. They didn't win that battle with cutting and slashing and armaments and things. They won that battle by proclaiming. And what are you to proclaim? You're to proclaim this, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know know what? You've got a sword right here. It's the Word of God and the sword of the Lord in Westmoreland Church, brother. And we can take every devil out in Wilson County. Can you say amen? God provided for Gideon. He provided for Elijah. You remember Elijah in the famine? And the ravens came and brought him meat and the brook that just did not seem to dry up. Oh, can you imagine being fed gourmet meals by God himself? Amen. And I'm looking out at you and I can tell you, including this one right here, God has provided food and water and amen. Even after fasting and praying, praise God. Hallelujah. He provided for Elijah when the widow's barrel did not fail. He provided for Jehoshaphat, the great king, when they were surrounded. And the Lord said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He provided for King Hezekiah. And when King Hezekiah was surrounded, the Bible says that one angel came overnight and killed 185,000 soldiers. That's pretty good. Wouldn't you say God provided? Amen? Amen? Oh, let's go into the New Testament. What about the life of Jesus? Oh, think about the times he performed healing. Think about the times when they owed tax. And they said, we got to pay taxes. And what did Jesus say? He said, go fishing. Amen. And they called fish, and in the fish there was money in the mouth of the fish. And I don't understand that story. I just know this. At the end of the day, God took care of the taxes. I said, he's our provider. Somebody say amen tonight. Oh, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Jesus stood at the tomb and Jesus wept. Oh, he wept because of their unbelief. He wept because Lazarus was going to have to come back from heaven, I think. I would cry too if I had just got used to heaven. And all of a sudden God's going to bring me back down to earth. I might not be happy about that. Brother, the Lord gets me on over there, I want to stay. Amen. Oh, never want to come back to this world. Your loved ones, they would never want to come back because that place is so wonderful and glorious. And so Lazarus was dead, but he'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he provided resurrection. And you think, well, that's Lazarus. But one day we're going to be in the grave. And one day it's going to seem like it's all over. But one day we're going to hear a voice. And those that are in the dead are going to be coming out of that grave. It's called the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. That's why we don't weep over our loved ones like other people do. Yes, we shed tears, but we should never be overcome with our grief because we trust that God has them and he's a good God. And one day we're all going to join around the throne. Why? Because he is our provider. Can you say amen tonight? Oh, but what about the 5,000 that were fed with the little few fish and the few loaves of bread? What about the apostles when Peter was going to be executed? Problem here. Jesus told Peter earlier and said, Peter, you're going to live to be an old man. And this time Peter was not old. He wasn't young, but he wasn't old. And Peter's going to be executed tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And the Bible says Peter was asleep. Peter said, wait a minute here. My Lord said, I'm going to live to be an old man. So sometime between now and 12 o'clock tomorrow, he's going to provide. And so I don't know what happened, but an angel came through. And this is what I really like about it, Brother Philip. It said the angel had to wake him up. Oh, he had to wake him up. I don't know that I'd be sleeping that soundly if I knew I was going to be the next morning. Amen. I might be a little more easy to awaken. I probably would doze off, but I would be so nervous and what am I going to go through? But the angel had to just kind of say, Peter, wake up. And Peter's like, okay. And the angel said, right this way, sir. Oh, because why? The Lord has provided. He's going to fulfill that word he has spoken over you. Has God spoken a word over your life? Then he is your provider. Can you say amen? And God told Paul, he said, you're going to make it to Rome. But he got on a ship. And he was made to get on the ship. He told him not to get on the ship. He said, we're going to have problems on this ship. And that's what the prophetic voice does. It says, hey, we're going to have problems if we vote this way. We're going to have problems. And then when they started having problems, he said, you should have listened to me. Can you say amen? And that's what I'm going to put on Facebook when all this stuff comes out. You should have listened to us. You came up with all these reasons, but you should listen when they start shutting us down. But friend, they're not going to really shut us down because we, God provides. Amen. And the Bible says that the ship wrecked. And Paul looked at those people and said, listen, not one life will be lost. How do you know that? Because the angel of the Lord stood by me this night, of whom I am and whom I serve, and said, you're going to make it to the other side. I want you to lift your hands, because the angel of the Lord, his name is Jesus. He's your provider tonight. I know the ship may be wrecked. I know the economy may be wrecking. I know that I'll tell you, we're being blessed in this pandemic. Can you get a witness out there? I've been blessed. Darnell and I in this pandemic have not missed one paycheck, praise God. And I knew we were going to buy a house in a couple of years and a couple of things financially we wanted to get out. And I was, you know, I'd wanted to buy a house for some time. I don't want to rent forever. And I just did my finances out and projected and said, well, in a couple of years we'll be ready to make an offer and this, that, and the other. And I was praying for a house and said, Lord, in your timing or whatever. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, it'll be told you what to do. And I really didn't understand that. So I just, and so Sister Jane, standing out here, she said, Brother Ricky, she said, I want, you know, check with the credit union, blah, 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 check with this. And I was getting ready to tell her one more time. I've told her 100 times, bless her heart. She's very persistent. I love her. And if she were sitting here tonight, I'd tell her that. She knows that. But, I was getting ready to say, Sister Jane, I'm not ready. I got a couple more years if I can get things ready. And before, as I was getting ready to tell her, I remembered the Lord said, it'll be told you what to do. And it was like, listen to her. She's telling you what to do. Folks, this is not make believe. I'm telling you exactly what happened. And I went down and I went and presented the things and first thing leads to the other. I think my keys are over there. Long story short, he's provided me and my wife a beautiful house with an in-ground swimming pool. He is our provider. And the rent I was paying and the mortgage, I told you wrong the other day. I said it was $200 more. It's not $200 more. It's about $50 more just for the mortgage payment itself. You know, of course, there's homeowners, blah, 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 blah. I didn't have to pay before, but that's okay. I'll be glad to pay home. I got a deal on that. Shannon Braswell, deacon at the First Pentecostalist Church, Farm Bureau, bless God, got me a big deal on my cars and on my insurance. I tell you, I am too blessed to be depressed. My God, in a pandemic, our church is growing. We're having revival. We're not going to shut down. We're going to keep on for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is our provider. Can you say amen? Oh, I don't have time to tell you about William Booth. On one occasion, there was William Booth from London, England, had the orphanage. And you see, children were treated and looked at differently. In our society today, children are very much cared for, very much we're concerned. Politicians run on platforms to protect children, and they should. One of the heartbeats of God is to protect the orphan and the widow and things of that nature. And I'm all for social work and things of that nature. I'm not for social justice. That's an incorrect term. There's justice or no justice. Can I get a witness out there? When we start saying social justice, we start saying certain crimes are not as bad because of a certain person's class or lifestyle. That's a distortion of justice. If you kill a man is dead regardless of his race. And it could be a white police officer putting his foot on a black man. That is wrong. I don't care how you line it up. And if it's a black police officer putting his foot on a white man, that is wrong. I am for black lives do matter. Can I get a witness out there tonight? But to be very honest with you, all lives matter. And they don't want you to say that because they're trying to distort what those things are. But friend, listen to me tonight. Under the gospel, every life, we must care for the Indian. We must care for the African. We must care for the European. We must care for everybody is precious to our Lord. And if there's injustice, that is not matter of the color. Can I get a witness out there? And I know in years gone past that many atrocities were done to African Americans, and we are repulsed at that, and we have repented of that, and we're asking God to change that. Amen. Nobody, because of their skin color, should be mistreated. But don't turn around and hijack that and make it a situation to where people on the other side are mistreated by something they are not guilty of from years gone back. Amen. I got on stuff tonight, but I'm speaking prophetically. This is not what you're not going to hear on the news, because there's an agenda, and that is to deceive people. But William Booth cared for children. And back then, children weren't, they were just nuisances. And children, if they were going to eat, they had to work in those factories. And you've seen those Charles Dickens novels were written, and the children would have black stains where they worked hard laborers and hours. And by the way, it's probably not a bad idea for kids to do a little work today. Can I get a witness out there? I think we've gone the opposite end. We've let our kids become couch potatoes with their nose stuck in a game board all day long, getting to be 300 pounds, and there's no exercise and no discipline. That's not right either. That's not healthy either. So there's a balance. But on one occasion, when William Booth, there was no food at the orphanage, and he had everyone to seat at the table. He bowed his head and thanked God for the meal. And when the prayer was finished, there was a knock at the door. The baker said, "I have some baked goods here where I cooked too much of this morning. Would you like to have it?" I'm telling you, he set his kids down, nothing on the table. He said, "What are you going to do?" "We're going to say the blessing." "There's nothing here." As he's saying the blessing, a knock comes on the door. "Aren't you glad he provides?" I could tell you stories about John G. Lake, the great evangelist in Spokane, Washington. John G. Lake. And it was one time he had a church there in Spokane, Washington, and the news media said that it was the most healthy city in America. There were less sick people per capita, and they found out it was because of his healing ministry there. And God told him to go to Africa, and he was a multimillionaire. He made millions in insurance sales. This is back in the 1890s and somewhere around in there. And he gave all of that up, every last penny he gave up. And he went on a boat, and to get off the boat in Africa, you had to pay, like, I would say $1,000. It wasn't that; it was less than that then, but it was inflation. It's about, and he didn't have anything, and God told him to go down the boat. He said, "Lord, I don't have any money. I've got to pay to exit." He said, "Get on the boat. Trust me." And so, glory to God, I'm about to shout. And he said, "When I was getting in the line to get off the boat, I had nothing in my pocket. No money. None." He said, "One person went, and I moved up. And he said, "And literally there was one person in front of me, and I did not have the money to get off the boat." He said, "While the man in front of me was paying, somebody tapped me on the shoulder, turned around, and the man said, 'Here, sir, I believe you need this,' and gave him not only enough money to get off the boat, but enough to start a church and several churches there in Africa." I'll tell you, friend, we might be getting back to those days again, and we need to trust the Lord. He is. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Lord, do it again. And I remember when I was, and get ready for Matthew chapter 6, and I'm getting ready to wind this down, but I remember back around 2006, 7, somewhere around in there, I was pastoring in Kinston, West Road, Pentecostal Church, and I remember we were really tight on funds, and I was going to write the tithe check, but I knew if the tithe check cleared, we'd only have about $60 for the whole week. Well, $60 is to, you know, to get gas in the cars and have food to eat and, you know, to buy the groceries. $60 is not a lot for a whole week when you got, you know, two people, two adults. Amen. $60 for a whole week. We're talking Saturday to the following, not the following Monday, but Monday a week. And it was like, well, if you just hold the tithe check, just write it and just hold it till next Sunday. And then you'll have some more coming in, a little extra in the middle of the month. And I thought, man, I can't do that. I'm the pastor. And as the priest, so the people. Amen. And how does that look for me to hold back? And I tell my people to give and tithe and be faithful, even when it's a sacrifice. And so it was a defining moment. And I said, I'm going to put that tithe check in. And this was, I believe, Darnell's tithe check because I didn't do tithes to the church. I always send to the conference. So I put a tithe check in, said, okay, $60. I told Darnell, I said, we'll just get some peanut butter and jelly. Amen. glory, no Cracker Barrel this week. Amen. we'll have to wait two or three more weeks, and there wasn't a Cracker Barrel around there. And we had church that morning, and we had it was God and Country weekend. And we had a big God and Country service, and we had a big meal afterwards, and church was full of people. I mean, packed to overflowing. And we had just dedicated a new fellowship hall, and it was a brand new, one of our first meals in there. And it was just a great day. And I just look back, and when I first went there, it was just a handful of people. And Brother Bird, when he went there before me, who this Bible, there was only 8 people when he went there. I followed him at West Road. He was there 8 years. And we had a meal that day, and Brother Glenn Schwartz tapped me on the shoulder. He said, Pastor, he said, we didn't have church that night. Because now, folks, when we had a meal, we didn't have church that night. Because I'll be honest with you, we were wore out. When we had church and we had a meal, by the time we got home and cleaned and all the workers of the church had stayed after when everybody else left, it was 3:34. We ain't coming back to church that night. We're just going to stay home and rest. Amen. And so that night, I said, we were having church. And all the deacons were in agreement. And Brother Schwartz said, can I come by? And I thought, my first thought crossed my mind is like, Brother Schwartz, you got to understand Brother Schwartz, he was a talker. He talked and talked and talked, which is fine, but I was going to be tired. I knew I was going to be tired, and I really preferred he would come maybe Tuesday or Wednesday when I'm a little bit rested. But Brother Glenn was a man of God, and I said, sure, Brother Glenn, come on by. So he came by about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. He came by, and he started talking, and he was a talker now, but he loved the Lord, and he was on fire, and it was always a blessing to be around. But he said, Pastor, he said, the real reason I came by, he said, the Lord has blessed me abundantly. Glory to God. He said, and pastors don't get paid as much as they should get paid. He said, and I know you're getting paid by the church. He said, I know they're paying you an adequate salary. But he said, I've learned over the years that the extra sometimes doesn't come to build a future. He said, and the Lord's laid upon my heart, and I just want to give you this offering. You remember the day before, I'm like, should I write this check or not? You remember the day before, I was like, $60. Glory to God. Well, let's put it to you this way. I had $1,060 that week. Hallelujah. So we did go to Cracker Barrel. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. He is our provider. Matthew chapter 6:25. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or whether clothes. Doesn't life consist more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you're far more valuable than they are. Psalms 37:25. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Shout it, he is. Now let's get back to Abraham as a close. Abraham, listen to these words, Genesis 22:14. And Abraham called the name of what? That place, Jehovah Jireh. Interesting, he didn't say that person, or he didn't call the name of God, Jehovah Jireh. He said that place, because your placement is very important to God working in your life. I feel I'm in the will of God where I'm at now in this season of my life. I've had pastor friends say, are you sure about that? I'm 100% sure about that until he speaks differently. Amen. And I'm always ready to say, Lord, whatever your plan is, it is your plan. But right now, I'm in this place. And if I'm in another place, I might not get that provision like God wants me to have it. Very important that you're where you need to be. It's very important the church you attend. Very important who your pastor is. Very important it, the anointing you're touching with, that place, because God, you know where you get miracles. You've got to be on miracle territory. Amen. If you're somewhere else, if you're not in that place, you better be in the right place, because when you're in the right, when you're where God wants you to be, I promise you, it's going to be seen. Can you say amen? And you really, the right place is obedience. Somebody said the word obedience. If Abraham had not obeyed God and trusted God, he'd have never been in that place. He'd have never seen Jehovah Jireh. But I like this. Let's go back to that scripture, Sister Darnell, and then come to that. Go back to that, because it says, in the mount of the Lord, four words, it shall be seen. I got a word from the Lord for us tonight. Four words. Tell your neighbor, it shall be seen. Oh, what about President so-and-so? It shall be seen. It ain't over just yet. God can uncover darkness and turn this thing around. It shall be seen. It didn't say it might be seen, or he didn't say, I hope it's going to be seen. Hallelujah. He said, by faith, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Oh, it shall be seen, my healing. It shall be seen, the salvation of my loved ones. Financial breakthrough, it shall be seen. Answers to your prayers, it shall be seen. Old-fashioned revival, it shall be seen. Your children are off drugs, it shall be seen. COVID-19 eradicated, it shall be seen. Somebody give him praise. He is, and it shall be seen. What are you looking for tonight? It shall be seen. Brother Ricky, I need a healing. I got a word from the Lord, my brother and sister. It shall be seen. Can you lift your hand and praise Him? Are you in the right place? Are you in the place of obedience tonight? Oh, we need a sweeping revival, and revival starts with repentance and obedience. Can you say amen? I'm closing with this, and I'm going to the piano so pastor can transition. I read about another little boy. Who came home from Sunday school. Thank God for Sunday school. His mom said, son, what did they teach you in Sunday school? He kind of looked puzzled, thought a minute, and he said, well, they told the story of how Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. She said, well, tell me how that happened. The son said, all right. That night, mama, Moses got on the radio and told all the people in Egypt that the Israelites were going to come out that night at a certain time. When the signal was given, flares were shot into the sky, signaling the Israelites to start out in their armored cars. He said they went across the desert and airplanes gave them coverage over the air. They came to the Red Sea, Mom. There was no way to cross it. Pharaoh was coming with his tanks. So Moses built a pontoon bridge. And they started across, and they got to the side, and while Pharaoh was on the bridge, Moses blew it up. And Pharaoh and his troops were drowned in the Red Sea, and Moses and the children of Israel were saved. Well, his mother looked at him and said, now, son, did your Sunday school teacher really tell you that? He said, well, not exactly. But, Mom, if I told it to you the way it was told to me, you would never believe it. Would you stand with me tonight? If I could tell you what God wants to do in your life, you might not believe it. We have a hard time believing it. But I want you to lift your hands and say, Lord, it shall be seen. It shall be seen. Hallelujah. Westmoreland Hallelujah. Church, my brother, it shall be seen. It shall be seen. You trust him. Hallelujah. Brother Schuyler, it shall be seen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the way maker and the miracle worker. Hallelujah.
Sister Darnell, if you can find that email I just sent to you. It shall be seen. I hope that comes up. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Everything done in the dark,
come on,
will be brought to the light. Let me tell you something. Don't ever discount God. Don't ever forget the God factor. It shall be seen. It shall be revealed. Because of this word of God, Luke 8:17, and also Ephesians 5:11 tells about us light. But everything done in the dark will be brought to the light. He is. He's in control.
Yes, He is.
He's our Jehovah Jireh. And we have a promise. Many of them. But I love this one. I, the Lord Jesus said, will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You don't touch the honor of God and walk away from it. That is an all-seeing eye that runs to and fro.
Hallelujah.
Throughout the whole earth. And who is He going to show Himself strong on their behalf? Those whose heart is perfect. If you look that word up, it means the heart that is set, that is stayed, set like concrete. I'm going to trust Him. I'm not worried about it. I'm aggravated by some things. But I promise you one thing. I'm not worried about it. I'm not lost one moment of sleep about it. Because of this scripture. That what's done in the darkness will come to the light. And you cannot hide from God. How do you hide something from a God that sees everything, that knows everything? You're lying down. You're rising up. A God that's so wonderful and so great that He gives grace after grace after grace after grace and calls and calls and calls. But when the cup of iniquity is full, you can be sure of one thing. There's a God in heaven. So as your pastor, I'm encouraging you to rejoice.
Hallelujah.
To rejoice, to shout, to dance, to pray, to believe God for revival, to believe God for an outpouring, to exhort one another, to encourage one another. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Woo! Oh, Brother David, I love him. He's a dancer. I can identify with him. He said, I encouraged myself in the Lord. If you take the word discourage and take dis, D-I-S, off of it, guess what you got? Carriage. So if you are discouraged, pour some carriage in.
Hallelujah.
How great is our God?
Oh, we sing tonight.
How great is our God. Look at that. Sing with me. That's how great our God is. Everything done in the dark will be brought to the light.
How great is our God.
Oh, it shall be seen.
How great
it shall be seen.
Is our God.
I said it shall be seen.
Sing with me.
How great is our God.
Is our God.
Everything done in the darkness shall be revealed in the light. It shall be seen.
Is our God.
Name above.
above.
You're the name above all.
Jesus,
names.
Hallelujah.
He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.